Aaron is going to be joining us soon. We already got Bitcoin Beach over in the house. How's it going, Mike? Welcome.
Good. Good to be here with you guys.
So, per usual, before we get started, I want to talk about Bitcoin 2022 conference. Again, we're waiting for Aaron to join, and we're going to be reflecting on this journey. So it's exciting to have Mike here. But part of this journey kind of had a big moment at Bitcoin 2021 when Jack Mallers and President Bukele announced the initiative in Miami. And Bitcoin 2021 is coming back again next year as Bitcoin 2022. We've been working extremely hard to put together the best Bitcoin conference possible, the conference that is going to be the pilgrimage for Bitcoiners to come together from across the globe and celebrate this amazing technology. So something that we are super proud of. The website is really coming together. So you can learn a lot more about the conference on the website b.tc/conference. And on the site, you can see our four tickets. So we have four different types of tickets. We have a VIP ticket that's called the Whale Pass that gets you into 4 days of conference, VIP access to a bunch of stuff, golf cart to take you around the venue, the whole nine yards. We have a GA ticket, which is a three-day event to Bitcoin. Again, full access to the best of the conference. We have an industry day. So this is more of like a B2B ticket with more kind of activations and an entire day that's focused around all the businesses and industries that are thriving and growing in the Bitcoin space. And then lastly, we're bringing something new. We are putting together a Sound Money Music Festival, the last day of the conference. That is going to be Saturday, April 9th. And that is going to be more of like a Coachella vibes, but celebrating Bitcoin. And if you just want to be in Miami and party the whole time, you don't care about the talks, you're a hardcore Bitcoiner, you've seen and heard it all, you know, we have a festival pass. So right now, I think it's just $100. Get a festival pass, book your trip to Miami for April 6th through 9th, party the whole week in Miami, and then come to the Sound Music Festival at the end. So a lot of options. I could keep going on. The content is going to start dripping and leaking as our team puts that together. My man P, who is behind Bitcoin Magazine over here, recently accepted the role to lead programming. So can't chill the conference enough, Bitcoin 2022. But that is enough from me. Thank you, everyone, for sitting through that. I want to hand it off to Aaron, and thanks again.
Thanks, CK. Can you guys hear me? CK, can you confirm?
Yes, sir. We hear you.
All right.
And we got Mike as well on the mic.
Yes, Mike is on the mic. Perfect. All right. Welcome back, everyone, to my weekly El Salvador Twitter Spaces stream, where I discuss what's going on with the legal tender law here. This is the seventh time I'm doing this now. So to recap, first week was about 1.5 months before the legal tender day, where we discussed how financial institutions basically didn't seem ready for the law at all. Then we had one about Bitcoin Beach and the reception in El Salvador. Then we had one of the Bitcoin Smiles initiative that was fundraised for dental care in the Bitcoin Beach area, El Zonte. We had one opening offices in El Salvador. This was a month ago, 3 weeks ago, something like that. Then we had one on the No All Bitcoin protests, the protest against the Bitcoin law. Then last week, it was Legal Tender Day, where we discussed Legal Tender Day. And today we're back. We're going to discuss the first week of Bitcoin being legal tender in El Salvador. It will be a bit of an open discussion to just share some experiences, answer questions, and yeah, give a little bit of insight what has been going on in El Salvador.
I have a question for you. Sorry, Aaron, right, before Mike jumps in, I have a question for you. So after the conference, you know, you were like, I need to go to El Salvador, and you planned on kind of just staying there throughout this kind of cycle of launching the bill and actually making it happen. I would love to hear your reflections, Aaron, on kind of landing there and then getting to where we are today.
Yeah, sure. So, well, first I was in El Zonte. I spent the first, I think, 2 weeks or let's see, it was at least a week, maybe 10 days, just in El Zonte. And El Zonte is a very cool initiative. It's really great. It's this bottom-up project, and it's really kind of working. Like, people do use Bitcoin, not all the time. You know, people also use dollars, but it's working. It's inspirational. It's great. And then I spent the next week or a couple of days in San Salvador. And I immediately realized that there's a very big contrast. Like, you have Bitcoin Beach and it's sort of this small citadel of the sea. But the rest of the country was still very far from adopting Bitcoin in any sort of large scale. Now, this was completely confirmed. I spent a couple of days in the States in between, then I came back, and then I started doing these streams and all of that stuff. Like I mentioned, the first episode we did, I spent some time with other Bitcoiners that were visiting El Salvador, and we visited banks. And it was kind of cool that we were actually let in into the, you know, into the boardroom. But our main impression was they have no idea what's going on. And this was just 6 weeks before it became legal tender. So my impression was it looks like this could be a complete nothing burger. Like, there's just going to be no event at all on the 7th. It's just going to be nothing, basically. Now, it has been the 7th, and you can sort of give two perspectives on it, I guess. You can sort of give the glass half full perspective or the glass half empty perspective. The glass half full perspective is, you know what? There's actually quite a bit going on. There's this big change. The McDonald's, the Pizza Huts that are accepting Bitcoin, they seems to be growing as well. The Chivo wallet actually launched. There was actually a Chivo wallet that some people could download. It was sort of working some of the time. The glass half empty perspective is that it's definitely not widespread yet, and you definitely can't spend Bitcoin everywhere yet. And still a lot of people have no idea what this is or how it works. And also the Chivo app, for example, has lots of issues. Like I mentioned, some people could download it, but also lots of people could not download it. It was very buggy if you did try to use it. Sometimes it would work, sometimes it would not. The user interface is a little bit confusing. But there's definitely more happening than I expected 6 weeks ago. So that's interesting to see. Can we get Sergey the mic? I know you only have a couple of minutes, so let's start immediately. I already discussed this very briefly with you earlier this week, which is also why I invited you on. People can use Bitrefill in El Salvador. I've used it personally. I use it to top up my phone balances. My phone balance, I only have one phone. And you guys have been having first-hand experience, essentially, with 6 million people being onboarded with Bitcoin, right? What has been the experience on your end?
I mean, we've been preparing for this and doing what we can. The first launch day was fun. We got, in 3 hours, 40,000 orders created on Bitrefill from people trying to buy stuff, which is, you know, I guess 10x a normal day, which is fun.
Did you make 30,000 orders?
40. I'm not sure if it was 40,000 individuals, but there was a lot of people trying to make a purchase on Bitrefill with the Chivo wallet, which didn't work at the time because the Chivo wallet had this restriction that you couldn't send the money out. And so then gradually people have been figuring out how it works, how it doesn't work, how to get the money out. At this point, I think people know how to get their money out.
So to clarify that, the restriction, as I understand it, is that everyone got $30. That's sort of part of the, you know, introduction present if you download the Chivo app. However, these first $30 can only be spent to other Chivo applications. So if someone would walk into the McDonald's here with a Chivo expecting to be able to buy a Happy Meal, then they were out of luck because McDonald's uses OpenNode and the first $30 can't be spent to OpenNode, which I can tell you has been causing a lot of problems and a lot of confusion in El Salvador as well. So apparently a lot of people try to top up their balance or whatever they were doing. What were they doing? Do you have any insights on that? What were they trying to buy?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, our products in El Salvador, we have a couple of games that are popular among the young people. Most prominently, a game called Free Fire, which we've been joking about. Bitcoin in El Salvador is a lot about Free Fire, which is just a popular game among the kids. But also, we have a partnership with the Hugo app, which is El Salvadorian Uber Eats and lots of other stuff. It's like the super app, they call themselves.
Right.
And it's like the number one thing that people do on their smartphone.
So people try to buy that on a pretty large scale, I understand, but in most cases it would just fail.
Yeah, exactly. That fails, and the Chivo wallet didn't give a nice error, and so we, you know, that's not great because we get blamed for it, and so on. And so we spent the whole week, last week, like, you know, all nights European time, figuring out the different behaviors and issues and trying to do the best we can and adapt our interface to fit with the particular bugs that the Chivo wallet has. I think there's a positive side to this, and maybe I should be the positive voice in this call. And, you know, the launch was not perfect, but frankly, rolling out a Bitcoin wallet to millions of people with a strong incentive to install it, organized and run by the bureaucracy of a government of a Latin American country. The app is built by 4 or 5 different teams, which is why there's inconsistencies in the app in terms of that. You get that feeling that it's like it's built by different people and stitched together. A lot of this stuff in terms of the Chivo wallet and Bitcoiners complain about, you know, it's custodial and it's centralized and you need to submit your privacy information, all of these things, right? And that it's limited in functionality. But if you put it in perspective, I mean, this is a government project to build a Bitcoin wallet. And given, and they had 3 months from the presidential announcement to building out something that, well, it works a bit for some people, and now they're getting the feedback that they need to fix it. We are trying to provide advice as we can to some of these teams on how and where to improve.
Sergey, do you get the impression that it has been improving already?
Yeah, I would definitely say so. There's a lot of stuff, and there's still a lot of stuff that's not great with the Chivo wallet. I think that people kind of, governments aren't known for making high quality anywhere, really. So with that in mind, it should be expected that something like this would have bugs on launch. I would hope that at this point, they should be able to figure some of these things out. But some of these things are hard, like setting up lightning channels for massive amounts of money that should move. And you can understand the political implications if the government doesn't want people to just send the money out of the country or whatever is seen. But at the same time, so you kind of can see how it happened the way that it happened. But end of the day, people are gradually getting access to it. They're getting access to real Bitcoins that, with a little bit of work currently, can be used, real Bitcoins. Maybe you can give me feedback on that, Aaron. Is it clear to people that many of the issues are related to the Chivo wallet and not necessarily Bitcoin as a whole, and that other wallets maybe don't yet have these issues?
I mean, it depends. Some people seem to understand that there was, in fact, a difference between Chivo and other wallets. I've walked into stores and they would ask me what wallet that was using, Chivo or something else. So they did recognize that there was a difference there and that the something else would work and the Chivo would probably not. Others, you know, have no idea and they would just blame Bitcoin or figure that it was a problem with Bitcoin or don't understand the difference between Chivo and Bitcoin. So that's to be expected. Some people understand a little bit more than others. But in general, I do think it caused a lot of confusion, and I do wonder if, I mean, I think the main reason to make the first $30 is limited to only Chivo to Chivo was so people wouldn't just walk to an ATM and get $30 out and be done with the whole Bitcoin deal. It was meant to really sort of incentivize people spending Bitcoin. However, I do really wonder if this did more harm than good in the end, because it caused so much confusion.
It's also inconsistent with the policy that companies should accept Bitcoin payments, right? Then the ones that do get penalized with customers that have a less than ideal experience, like McDonald's that integrated with OpenNode, for example.
Yeah, that's a very good example. I mean, one of the reasons McDonald's did it, I'm sure, is because they knew everyone's going to get $30 and they want everyone to spend that $30 at their store. So they put in the extra effort and time and money to get ready. And then when they were ready, it turned out that no one could spend these $30 at their location.
Right.
And they were penalized for it in that way. And that was, I think that was really a bad choice.
Yeah. No, I think every company in El Salvador, and yes, including ours, kind of like can do the math exercise and realize that, you know, there's a lot of potential customers to be had here with people spending these $30. And so a lot of people have been trying specifically to capture that. There's like telcos that have a Chivo package. Yeah, there's a lot of things that you can buy that cost $29.95 and so on.
So give us an idea, you said 40,000 people tried to spend these funds at Bitrefill. How many eventually, or at least there were 40 post attempts. How many eventually succeeded?
That day it was 100. Now it's a bit more. It's still kind of low. It's calmed down a little bit. Yeah, and we're I guess waiting on when it gets enabled in the rest. It's only been enabled for a couple of phones on the Android App Store. And so we're waiting for it to be enabled on all phones, including the most popular ones. And I mean, as an optimist, I'm hoping that there will be some kind of communication that, okay, order is now restored and things from now on should be working more reliably and that people go in and try. Yeah. But I mean, big picture, we get so cycled in about these $30. But if you look out at the bigger picture thing of this, the $30 is just like it's a ploy to get some initial adoption of it. The real question is this, like, first of all, like, will merchants integrate Bitcoin in a sufficiently good way for people to be able to use Bitcoin in El Salvador? And I would say that from what I've seen, the answer is very clearly yes. Many companies, retail companies, will have like a special cashier with a special person that sits in the cashier and probably just has a mobile phone wallet to accept the Bitcoin, which I would even argue is probably the best way to do it if I was a local merchant as well. But from here, the real challenge isn't, this is the same as it is with Bitcoin everywhere. The challenge is never about getting merchants to accept it. Merchants will accept it if there's customers. The challenge now, which is the interesting challenge beyond the $30, is will El Salvador be able to convey to their diaspora of El Salvadorians that live abroad, mostly in the US, that in fact it's better than sending money through all of the different channels that are being used now to just, you know, buy Bitcoins on the Cash App or on Strike or what have you and send the Bitcoins back home or to buy something for someone back home. If this thing is successful, there's a lot of question marks here. But if it is successful, then there's a chance that there can be a vibrant Bitcoin circular economy in El Salvador. And that's entirely dependent on whether or not they succeed at achieving the inflow. And that's the next step. Right now, we're dealing with the early bugs and this and that and all of the things that one could have expected to go wrong. And now I think we're all sort of, okay, there will be a day, hopefully soon, when things work. We'll see people spending their $30. And then after that, interesting work will begin in whether or not Bitcoin will be used circularly in El Salvador.
Absolutely, yeah. On the Chivo app, I will mention that my experience has also been that it is improving. I don't have the app myself because I'm not Salvadoran, but I have been playing around with other people's apps. And on day one, it was basically not working at all. And then on day three, it was still so buggy that you could say it was not working at all. But yesterday, I actually did manage to spend some funds from it, and it seemed to be a lot smoother than earlier this week. So there does appear to be some improvement going on. Let's first see if someone has a question for Sergey, because we do have one raised hand. Edgardo, do you have a question for Sergey?
Well, I don't have a lot of the questions for us. I've been following you guys since the beginning, and I mean, I see Sergey talking about the issues. The problem with all the Bitcoin and the Chivo app was that there was not a pre-launch. I mean, they threw it like the day they were supposed to be on. And I mean, it's been a lot of bugs, and a lot of people have been trying to do is that they want to cash out that $30 of Bitcoins. And on some of the stores that you guys are not aware of it, they said, we accept Bitcoin, but we're not Chivo apps. I mean, they're accepting Strike in any other wallets that that everybody's using here. I mean, I've been following you guys for a while. I've been using Coinbase since 2014. I hadn't had an issue, but the last couple of days, even Coinbase or Strike have had issues with their platform, so it's been kind of crazy, though.
Yeah, well, right. I mean, you're right. I mean, the scale of it is bigger than Bitcoin on-chain does 700,000 transactions per day. That's not so much compared to 5 million people who would theoretically get access to free money on the same day. So you can imagine a lot of stuff breaking down and having scaling troubles. I mean, I know how much scaling troubles we had when Strike launched there in El Salvador and so on. And so I 100% agree that the right way to launch things is to do a soft launch with a small group, or, you know, the way we often do it at Bitrefill is that we turn a feature on and then we don't tell anyone. and we announced it a couple of days later after the first people have tried it. We know that it works and so on. But I can also understand that in a political environment when there's a lot of people that want to weigh in on decisions and decide, and this is a whole pride project that needs to go live on one day, and so then maybe by necessity it put us in this situation where they did go live and things couldn't scale to the demand. But I'd also remind people that scaling issues are champagne issues. Most projects never get to scaling issues. So scaling issues shows that there is a demand for this, which at least is a good thing.
Well, I mean, there is a lot of people here that, I mean, I'm from a little town that is called Sinsintepeque. I'm on the part of central area, Cabañas. That they were trying to do is cash it out, and they were like doing a running around. They were downloading the app. One of the ways they found out to cash out, I mean, to get the cash actually, was to link an account for example, Banco Agricola and so on and forth. And they are indeed were able to take those $30 out. I mean, they have to do the runaround. I mean, for example, they will send it to me. I will send it back to them. That was an actual transfer. So it was not just that, like, I already spent the $30. Now you can go ahead and link your account and download it to your bank account, and you go ahead and get it from your ATM from the Banco Agricola. And they've been doing it. Kind of, it's been crazy around here. I mean, Cabañas, Chalatenango, San Vicente. I know a lot of people, San Salvador also. They've been doing, like, the workaround. There is a lot of people also that they're saying, I buy Bitcoins. I'll give you $25 cash, and you gave me the $30 bonus that the government is giving. It is crazy, though. I mean, they were saying, no, nobody's going to like it. But, I mean, everybody's trying to get a hands on some money. You know, I mean, it is free money anyway. Lizard is the people's money, so why don't we just spend it?
Yeah, and people, like you said, people solve the problem. And in the end, this is the problem with airdrops, is that people are going to figure out the fastest way to claim the free money. It is difficult to steer them to whatever behavior it is that you want them to have, especially with an open system like Bitcoin. At the same time, when you're promoting the openness of it, it gets hard. You can't lock it down completely.
I do want to go to Mike. Yeah, Mike. Let's hear from Mike.
Yeah, just to follow up on that, I think that's what's so great about this. Is it shows people's ingenuity. They're already finding a way to use that for remittances. I mean, that's basically what remittance is. Somebody sending them Bitcoin and finding a way to cash that out. So I think that that's exciting to see the ingenuity of people and see that they're figuring out how to actually use it.
Yeah, I've also heard that the ATMs are actually being used a lot. I don't have any exact numbers, but lots of orders on the ATM, lots of people getting cash out, I think, especially. In general, Mike, what has been your impression of this first week?
So I would say overall, it's been much better than I anticipated. I really thought that there wouldn't be a working wallet at all. I think it was smart of the government to release certain phones at certain times. I mean, obviously, if they would have given more information ahead of time and people would have kind of known how they were going to do it, that would have been better. But all in all, I mean, these rollouts are always disastrous. So it was better than I expected. I was definitely pleasantly surprised at the number of stores and locations where you could spend Bitcoin. My daughter bought an outfit at Zara using Bitcoin. I did notice that a lot of the stores, they're using either the Athena or the Chivo application to receive Bitcoin. I was having issues to send to them. So I had several locations tell me they were accepting Bitcoin, but I kept getting error messages. I'm not sure if that was just the Chivo optical issues. So I don't know. What have you found with that?
Yeah, I've been having mixed results with the ATM. Sometimes it worked very smoothly. I've tried it with the Chivo app, and then it didn't seem to work at all. It wasn't clear why it wasn't working. But when I used like my regular Bitcoin wallet, then it actually did work. There were still some confusing user interface, user experience type of things where it said it required one confirmation. You get a code and you come back after there is one confirmation, then you get the actual money. But it seemed to actually wait for more confirmations or something, or at least it didn't come out at first. So there's definitely confusing things going on. But it worked other times. So, you know, again, it's glass half full, glass half empty. And I think that's one of the things on the legal tender day. We saw a lot of mainstream media headlines about what a mess it was. And I think that comes down to expectations a lot. people like you and me, like you mentioned, you didn't expect it to be an app at all. And I was sort of in a similar, I had similar expectations. I, from everything I've seen, I thought this is just going to be nothing at the sevens. And then if there's something, that's actually a pleasant surprise. While if you're a major media outlet and you're not really into Bitcoin, or you don't really understand how complicated it is to roll something out, then it might look like a mess because not everything is working. So it comes down to expectations, probably.
All right, Bitcoiners, I want to tell you about our newest sponsor. This show is brought to you by Ledin.io. I have been super, super impressed with the guys over at Ledin. I've actually known the co-founders, Adam and Maurizio, for a very long time. I've had the pleasure to watch them build Ledin up from a tiny, tiny startup to now a super impressive institutional grade Bitcoin and crypto lender. Y'all, I'm so impressed with these guys. They are offering some of the best rates out there. I don't think anyone even comes close to touching them. You can get 6.1% APY on your first two Bitcoin that you deposit into Ledin interest accounts, and you can get 8.5% on USDC deposits. I mean, I know all the competitors. They're not even close. If you're going to put your crypto and your Bitcoin into an interest account, Ledin is by far the best. And on top of that, like I said, these guys are hardcore Bitcoiners and they know the products and the services that Bitcoiners want and appreciate. They came up with B2X. It allows you to put your Bitcoin in, they leverage it up, and you can, with one click of the mouse, get twice the exposure to Bitcoin. So if you're super bullish, Ledin has you covered with a super, super easy way to get leverage with B2X. And then on top of that, they know that Bitcoiners care about your reserves. They know that Bitcoiners don't like under-reserved and not full-reserved financial institutions. So they are pushing the frontier in transparency in the digital asset lending space. And they are the first digital asset lender to do a full proof of reserves and proof of attestation through a Mariano LLC, a public accounting firm. So the Ledin guys, they know what Bitcoiners like. They are legit. I encourage you guys to check them out. Do your own research and go to Ledin.io. That is Ledin.io and learn more. Bitcoiners, I want to tell you about The Deep Dive. The Deep Dive is Bitcoin Magazine's premium market intelligence newsletter. This is a no-fluff, hard-hitting, incredible newsletter going deep into the market, helping you understand what's happening with derivatives, what's happening on-chain, what's happening in macro, what's happening with the narrative, and what's happening with the tech. My man, Dylan LeClaire, is an absolute savant. He is making his name known in the Bitcoin community, getting shout-outs left and right, getting on podcasts left and right, and him and his team are bringing you everything that you need to know about Bitcoin. You don't even have to be on Bitcoin Twitter. You can ignore every other newsletter. This is the newsletter to rule them all. Go over to members.bitcoinmagazine.com, sign up today. And if you use promo code MACRO, you get a full month for free. You have nothing to lose. What are you waiting for? Sign up, see the incredible work that Dylan and his team are putting out. And if you don't like it, just unsubscribe. You don't pay a dime. But if you do, it's going to be well worth the sats in investment in understanding Bitcoin and gaining the confidence to continue to invest in Bitcoin and making the right moves around Bitcoin. And it's going to be well worth every single Satoshi. Again, can't recommend it enough. That is members.bitcoinmagazine.com, promo code MACRO. Do it today.
I just want to highlight, we're all in Twitter Spaces right now, but I think most people here can remember what Twitter Spaces was like a month ago. So rollout at scale, not easy to do, even for the most well-capitalized companies.
Yep. And to summarize, think of what's been achieved. There are proven many ways to convert Bitcoin into real-world value, to bank transfers, to online purchases, to in-store purchases. People know about it, and it's the ways work. There is a Bitcoin wallet that many people in the country have. The word is out that there is Bitcoin, and it's a thing that mostly works. So, you know, a lot of things have been achieved, even despite the launch difficulties.
Can you hear me?
Hey, Mario.
I was about to call you up, but...
Well, introduce yourself, Mario. Maybe that's better.
Well, I have been working in technology for a couple of years. I am the founder of the Hackerspace in Salvador, and I have been following the implementation of Bitcoin here in El Salvador during the last days, and in particular the Chivo app. I would like to give like a couple of technological side insights because I have my inbox full of people reporting issues with the applications. And I know that, I mean, it's a new development, it's a new release. I will think that they were missing an adequate testing procedure. And I would like to know why the reason of that, because I mean, it's a critical system that was going to be used by so many people. The other thing that I want to mention is I have my doubts that this is really stress test for Bitcoin and Lightning, because the way the application is working, it looks like more is a centralized system, and only when you interact with external wallets, it actually connects to the main chain or with the Lightning network. So it's hard to evaluate how good has been this deployment and the scale of it if we don't have like true real data about the users, about transactions, and about everything. And I think that the main problem is that for me, whatever the government releases is not truly Bitcoin. It looks like a centralized banking system, and that will explain the a lot of issues that people are reporting when trying to use the application. And it's not a bad idea by itself. But
let's be clear about, Mario, yeah. Let's be clear about what you mean. What you mean is that the TiVo app itself is custodial, and transactions from TiVo to TiVo are basically just ledger entries, right? Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So the whole idea was to give like this government-owned banking system to the population. I mean, it's fine. It's not a really bad idea. But I think that what we always point about this is the way that it was forced, all these obligations that the business owners needs to comply. We even had one of politicians tweeting about that they were asking a business owner to install the TiVo application. And I think that if you think a little bit about this, this goes against all the things that Bitcoiners try to do and the Bitcoin philosophy. So I think that that's the main problem. And if you look at the experience of several users, the users that didn't use the government applications, the ones that have less issues, and even these big stores, they decided to not use the TiVo wallet, and they had less issues than the rest of the people. We're still having issues regarding to, let's say, the compatibility with other applications and these kind of things that I think is not acceptable from the perspective of the citizens. I mean, we are paying for this. We are paying a lot of money to make this work. No one was asked to approve this. I think that if Bitcoin was implemented, but in an optional manner, I think it was not going to be a problem. But I think that they promised too much and delivered just too little, and we are paying for this. And they need to take a position about this. I mean, the government needs to explain what happens with the money of the people, because at the end of the day, many business owners trusted the government to implement this solution. And to this day, they're still losing money for this. So I think that someone needs to be made responsible about what has happened. That's my take on this. Thanks.
So let me see if I understand you correctly. It sounds like you have two concerns. One is a lack of transparency from the government on how taxpayer funds essentially are being spent on the creation of this wallet. And the other one, but I'm not sure about this, is, well, it's obvious that the wallet isn't working very smooth, or there are a lot of kinks to work out. Are you also of the opinion that it shouldn't be custodial in the first place, or do you think that's an acceptable trade-off?
I think that for the second point, I mean, it's an acceptable trade-off if it's transparent enough so we know how all the funds are being used. But what we know about this TiVo application and the development team is that it's a private business. We don't even know if there was a tender or something like that to decide who was the development host that was going to develop the application. So I think it lacks a lot of transparency. And I don't think that
do you mean transparency about how the funds are being used? It sounds like you also mean transparency on how the wallet actually works and how the custodian works and where the funds are and that kind of stuff.
Because, I mean, everything is speculating here. I think even you guys do not have any details about the technical side, neither of the way that our taxpayer money is being spent on this application. So I think that all this lack of transparency is giving really a bad image, not only to Bitcoin, but it removes any reason for us to trust on this government wallet. So why I'm going to trust on this application if they are not giving us any details about how it works, how the money is spent? So I think that that's not acceptable as a citizen.
Yeah, it's not exactly in line with the open source philosophy. That's for sure. We don't know how the world works, or we also don't know how or where or who is storing the funds, right? Since it's custodial.
Yeah. We don't even know who is the custodial of all this 550 bitcoins. If you know, please tell us, because apparently no one in government wants to tell these kind of things.
I just want to jump in and say that the majority of international Bitcoiners that are, you know, very interested in El Salvador, I don't think many of them are necessarily rooting on the Chivo wallet or anything like that. Obviously, the government effort is going to be a very strong effort and a big effort, especially early on. I mean, we want that to be successful for the best of Bitcoin, but, you know, a government is going to be a government, and I don't think any of us have any false expectations on what the government rollout is. But ultimately, I feel like the majority of us are excited about what Bitcoin offers and excited about the idea of a lot of people being introduced to the benefits of Bitcoin, you know, in whatever way, and hopefully they do it the right way, the open source way. As you said, they've already had a better experience if they use Bitcoin straight up versus the government version. So I do kind of want to like just point that out, just so, you know, we're not rooting necessarily for everyone to get on the Chivo wallet and for that to be the dominant thing. We just want Bitcoin to help, really, I think.
If I could fill in just a little color from some things that I've seen on my end. One, as far as the who got the government contract, and there's this perception that there's companies out there making a bunch of money off of this. I think it's actually the opposite. I know some companies that were approached, basically the deal that was being tendered to different people would involve them having to make a substantial investment that they would probably never recoup. And the benefit for the company was to be the company, you know, kind of related to this project, so that going forward, when they possibly could have more profitable deals with countries that could pay them kind of more market rates. And so I definitely understand the desire for transparency, but I don't think that this is a case of there's some company making a bunch of money off this. I think whoever's behind this, they're definitely losing money on it, at least that for several years they will be. And so I think that's one thing. The other thing is, and what we've seen is the vast majority of companies do not want to use the Chivo wallet. And I think that's great for the project. And I would hope that the government would actually be happy about that, because that puts less stress and risk and demand on them. And my hope is that from the government side, the wallet that they offered was just so that people had some option that they could say that the government was standing behind, but that ultimately the government doesn't want to be in the wallet business. And I really think they don't. I don't think that that's their desire. I think they feel that this will be better handled by private enterprise. And I think in their rush to roll it out and the timeline they did, they may have cut some corners, and there's some stuff that I know all of us are uncomfortable with, but I don't think that there was some perverse trying to steal money from this type thing behind it. There's much easier ways to do that in government and with a lot less publicity.
Well, I will think the thing here is that the lack of transparency is something that is going against all local laws. And I think that, I mean, it's the law, it's the obligation of the government to explain what is the process that they use to hire all these companies, independently if they're making money or not of the implementations. And I think that it is the less that we can ask to these companies, because if the government is not clear, it's not transparent about what they use that they're making to our money, at least we will think that these companies need to say, okay, I'm working with them, we are providing this kind of technologies. Because what I say is that the law says that they need to be transparent about these kind of implementations, and they are not doing this. And I don't think that this is going to end well if they keep in hiding things from the people, if they keep hiding off all these technical details. I mean, again, and I want to explain that we were never against the technology. I mean, I am a technologist. I consider all technologies just a tool. It's the way that it's implemented. And I think that we cannot expect to do something good if we just leave them to act in complete darkness about what they are doing. And again, I think that the point here is that there is a legal framework that the government needs to respect. And you can have a lot of good intentions, but good intention is what paves the way to hell. So, and I think that this is important.
Agree.
This is the message that I want to leave you guys. And yeah, the problem is that normally in this kind of spaces and on Twitter, you know, that is a lot of discussions and it gets one-sided. And there is little space for rational discussion about what is happening. And again, if it was open, if it was transparent, if it was open source, if it was optional, I think that I even would like to support this kind of initiatives, even including the other kind of crypto assets and technologies. But what we have here is completely different what you would expect to deploy this kind of technologies.
To do a compliment of what Mr. MXGX is saying, I mean, the main point of the Bitcoin community, I'm guessing, and I don't know if everybody's going to be right with me, is El Salvador is the first country that make this coin legal. What that means is, like Bitcoin, which you were saying, I mean, not everybody using Chivo. I mean, everybody using different wallets. And, I mean, that is great. I mean, we have been following Bitcoin for a while, and we're happy to see that this is the first country. What the 3%, I mean, and that's what his speech is about. I mean, his speech about the transparency and all that, it's like the 3% that do all the time. I mean, the point is here, El Salvador is the first country that legalized Bitcoin. I mean, it's not like mandatory that, yeah, you're going to use Chivo wallet. I mean, you can use now every single wallet that you can. And more investment is going to come, for example, Strike, Coinbase. I mean, it's not going to be like just cajeros when she was everywhere. And that's what Sol says. I mean, the private investment is the one that's going to be the key here, because, I mean, for how many years we've been waiting so we can cash out Bitcoins? I mean, Bitcoins have been around back and forward. But there was not a place, I mean, a legal place where you can go ahead and see that money in cash, in paper. What most of the people don't see here is that, come on, we're the first country that legalized Bitcoin. They don't see the investment that they're bringing to our country. And when he says transparency, Chivo app, I mean, yeah, it is a government app and it's a private, that's what they're saying. But I mean, look at the point of view that he's saying, oh, you know, how much money are they making underwater and so and so and so. That's a 3% speech. Come on, man. Look at the future, though. I mean, we're happy here that we legalize Bitcoin, though. I mean, we're the first country that is legal. Most countries, I mean...
Yeah,
Bitcoin,
I mean...
It's legal in most countries. The difference is that it's legal tender, which is a legal definition of a...
Yeah,
currency
but
that
I'm,
you
not
can
talking, I'm not talking...
The legal
about,
system comes into play.
As these things take time to roll out, and I, quite honestly, I think a lot of the deals were done with the companies just acting in good faith.
Yeah, but what we again, we have a legal framework here. And I mean, if this happened in one of your countries, guys, I think that you will not accept this kind of actions by your government or the companies that participated in this. And I think that this doesn't help Bitcoin. That's the point.
I just want to add something from what Mario says, because I only have little much time to be on this space. I'm Salvadorian too. I live here in Salvador. And what Mario is trying to say is that we are not against Bitcoin. We are not against what Bitcoin can bring to the country. But how it's implementing here in Salvador, it's really shady. It's wrong. It's without transparency. And what he was talking about, that private enterprise that he's talking about, it's actually a private enterprise that is funded with government money. And it's run by people that works in the government. Well, the names on the enterprise, on the register, on the national register of El Salvador, they are people that work in the government. And we don't know where the funds are going. And well, the 550 Bitcoin that El Salvador possesses, it was bought with taxpayers' money because the government doesn't have no money. They have our money. So that's why we need transparency. That's why we need that they give us account. They hold accountable of what they're doing with our money. That's the difference. That's what we're protesting against. It's the lack of transparency and the way they do things. That's yes. The main issue.
Mario, I want to ask you something else. You were in the news last week. Is that something you want to discuss on this call or not?
Well, the problem is that I don't even know why they did this to me. So, but once I get more information, I will share it with all of you guys.
All right. Yeah, you were briefly arrested, right?
Yep. But up to this day, we don't know the real reasons for that.
All right. Got it. We have a Nature of Type 1 on the stage. What's
Nature,
up?
Welcome.
Hey, what's up? I guess following up on the transparency conversation, I mean, the biggest concern, you know, I have is just the survivability of Bitcoin in El Salvador over the long term. And that comes with a knowledgeable user base. So I was just wondering with the people who are in El Salvador right now, I'm not sure if there's any initiatives, but is there like any ongoing education programs provided on the national government level, like that will be after this initial onboarding period? Or is that like assumed to be left to the private sector and what you guys would think will be best for that?
Mike, do you want to answer this?
Sure. I think there's both right now. There is the government has actually put more of an effort than I was expecting, specifically around the launch of the Chivo app and helping people onboard, but just some general education also. But I think that that's really going to have to fall on the private sector. And I think that's what's great about Bitcoin. It's decentralized. We have projects that we're working on in our little area, but there's dozens of other people that are doing kind of similar things. And we coordinate when we can, but it's great that all these things are kind of happening independent of each other. And it's going to take time. I mean, anybody who's come into the Bitcoin space, it takes really years for them to really understand. And we kind of go through the stages, and I think that's going to be the same that's going to happen here.
Cool. Thanks.
Yeah, anyone and then else also, on this topic, education topic, any other comments here?
Mario, Edgardo.
Mario or?
Yeah, I mean, we have been trying to educate people mostly on the use of other wallets if they are really interested in using Bitcoin to get payments or to transfer it to cash. But yeah, the problem also is they try to keep all the details of the application until the last moment. And I mean, that generated a lot of confusion. The system was not ready. I'm really worried because some people lose actual money, right? So they are still waiting to transfer their funds out of the application. So yeah, I mean, it's a lot of lack of education on the government side. And I think that the correct way of doing it was to explain about the technology and explain the alternatives. I think that a more organic way of implementing it make a lot of more sense that way they have done currently with the Chivo app.
I got a question to Bitcoin Beach. I know you guys have the project since the beginning. What app were you guys using? I mean, I got very concerned about that. I mean, because you were the pioneers of using the Bitcoin here in El Salvador, but which app do you guys use? Which wallet, in other words?
Bitcoin Beach has the Bitcoin Beach wallet, which is basically a wallet designed by the Bitcoin Beach project. I noticed that the Bitcoin Beach wallet was actually the second most downloaded app in El Salvador last week. So people definitely also trying out other wallets. It seems that one in particular.
I have a quick question about the Chivo wallet. Are they utilizing the wallet to do any sort of education, or is it just like, here's an interface and that's it? You know, like any sort of onboarding or anything like that within the wallet? Is that something that they've like leveraged?
I don't think so. I've browsed through the wallet a little bit. It's in Spanish, so it's not clear to me what everything does exactly. Or it's clear enough because I know how Bitcoin works, so it's sort of I can fill in the gaps. And I don't think I saw any sort of educational course. The Bitcoin Beach wallet actually does have that. The Bitcoin Beach wallet has a education page, and you get to learn and answer questions, just very basic Bitcoin questions. So you get to learn what Bitcoin is in the app itself. I'm pretty sure I haven't seen that in the Chivo app, no.
Yeah, Michio app has no education whatsoever within the app. They were doing a lot of ads on the news about how to use it. But I mean, the app itself now, I mean, it's just straightforward. Here's the application and you deal with it. So it's
Maybe Mike can answer some questions about the Bitcoin Beach wallet first.
I mean, specifically in Bitcoin Beach, the majority of people are using the Bitcoin Beach wallet just because it has the integrated map function. They can find all the stores where people are using it. It's a very user-friendly wallet. It has the username function. And also just because we've been going out and doing education and trying to onboard people. So we believe it's probably one of the best user experience wallets out there, but we want to promote multiple wallets and have people using whatever wallet they feel most comfortable with. The Bitcoin Beach wallet is a shared custodial wallet, which, you know, has its downsides. And so people who are willing to go the non-custodial route, we definitely want to push them in that direction. And we hope to eventually move our wallet in that direction. But yeah, I think just for usability in our area, the majority of the people are using the Bitcoin Beach wallet.
Mario, I actually have a quick question for you. And I would just like start the question with a statement, but I don't think a lot of Bitcoiners per se expect a lot out of governments. If you say like, hey, governments are misusing taxpayer money and not being transparent and doing things that we don't like I would say, yes, that's probably to be expected. And that's happening everywhere in the world, especially because of COVID restrictions. So I don't know what your opinion is about all that stuff, but I don't really expect too much from government. So a lot of your criticisms kind of have to do with like the government's doing this, the government app is like that, and I get it. And they're implementing something you don't maybe do or do not like. But for us, you know, it's really is like, is Bitcoin entering into El Salvador and is that a good thing? And, you know, I think a lot of people here think that it is a good thing. What's kind of your fear here beyond the government itself acting in malicious ways? Or are you just really concerned only strictly about the government and Bitcoin is just kind of a side issue? Do you think Bitcoin in El Salvador in general is a good thing? Or is it just neutral and the government's just being bad? I'm just kind of curious to set the conversation a little more straight.
Okay, I have actually two fears. Fear is related to the use as Bitcoin as money, you know, because I pretty understand that everyone uses as an investment tool. And that's fine for me. I mean, I don't have any issues. But the problem is with the small merchants in the streets, people that live life to life, they cannot cope with all this volatility of Bitcoin. So this gives people a lot of troubles. And the other thing that we are starting to observe is that people is trying to increase a little bit the prices. I mean, we kind of expected this because the way that the merchant protects itself against volatility is to increase a little bit the price. So if they are going to bet on accepting Bitcoin, they have a little bit of margin in case the price reduces by the next day or thing like that. So apart from the government, the way that they are implementing this, I think that there is a lot of things that we don't really know how they are going to work in the actual economy with the actual merchants in the markets. And I really believe that if the people that promote Bitcoin, I mean, I'm not a promoter of Bitcoin by myself, but I think that some kind of pilot was needed to implement these kind of things, to see the effects, to see if really it's worth it. And I'm sorry for the Bitcoin Beach guys, but I think that their context is completely different to the context of the rest of the country, because I mean, they're a touristic place. They receive a lot of foreigners. They have like a small community where everyone knows each other, so they can have this like closed economy that, I mean, it's not a bad idea by itself, but it doesn't represent a full market like the big market of San Salvador that is completely different to the rest of the country. So I think that there are so many questions, and I think that it's not fair to run this experiment with all the population. It's what we call, I mean, I'm a developer, so this looks like we are developing on production. And you know that these kind of things do not end good.
I got a question for you really quick. Before you got arrested, there was a Chivo wallet in approximately, 6 hours before you got arrested, it disappeared before the original launch. You got anything to say about that?
Well, we warned people that there was a lot of scams, and we were talking about this for weeks before. I think that a couple of people, experts in security, warned about this wallet because people were trying to scam people out. And I think that even the government guys warned about this. And if you look at my older tweets, I pointed that it was needed to the government to educate people, because without education, anyone can fall in these kind of scams. And, you know, the problem is that they waited to the last moment to give information about this wallet, and they don't even gave any warnings about the scams. That's the thing that bothers me, really, because we actually were trying to do the education that was not being done by the government at that time.
Yeah, the reason I ask you is because even though the newspaper ElSalvador.com tweeted it and also put it on Facebook, Chivo Wallet, I mean, on big, and everybody went to the Play Store, and I even went myself and I looked at it. I mean, I was not a scam and tried to download it, and I saw it. There were like 2 days before the original launch of the Chivo app that happened, that even though the newspaper, Salvador.com, went and posted it, the actual app itself. So I was like, what the heck? I mean, didn't they say they were going to launch it on the 7th? But 2 days before, it was already on the Play Store. It was kind of crazy, you know. And they were tying you down with that. I mean, that's what I ask you straight, because they were saying, I mean, that is all over in the news. I mean, the Salvador.com, La Prensa Gráfica, they were saying that you were the one behind that Chivo app that was launched on the Play Store. And that's why, I mean, to clarify to the Bitcoin community, I mean, that was not you. I know it was not you, but I mean, it's great to clear that out, because a couple of hours before they arrest you, I mean, with no charges, the Chivo app went away from the Play Store.
Well, you say it. I mean, I don't know the reason why they arrested me. And I mean, they didn't feel any charges or anything. For me, it's really suspicious that we have all this information. We were trying to educate all the people to tell them, please don't fall into scams. We even asked the government to give official information regarding their app, because there was a lot of lack of information. And, you know, if people doesn't have the information, if they don't have education, if they don't have the tools to really identify what's real and what's a scam, what you can have is people trying to put money on this kind of scam. So I don't know what's behind all of this, but I will not trust any government sources regarding this, because, again, I don't know what's behind or what's the idea of these people behind all these scams. Obviously, they want to trick people. They want to make people think that they are the official ones. But again, what we are trying to do is to educate people. And you can see all my posts, and you can see that even if I criticize the implementation of Bitcoin, my work all this time has been on educating people and warning about all the risks that they are exposed.
Mario, did you spend Bitcoin anywhere this week?
Not this week. I mean, I only have a small bunch of Bitcoin to test the technology, but I don't use it to spend it or to invest anywhere. I mean, I'm here for the technology, not because I think this is a good money replacement or investment tool.
Mario, if you don't think it's a good investment, you haven't spent enough time researching the technology.
Yeah, I mean, this is my opinion, because I don't really like to give any money value to anything that is virtual. But that's a long discussion. I mean, we can spend hours talking about that.
Fair enough. That'd be an interesting conversation.
Yeah, of course.
Bitcoiners, I am so excited to tell you about the Bitcoin 2022 conference. You guys, Bitcoin 2021 was absolutely a smash hit success. It was over 13,000 Bitcoiners coming together, breaking the barriers on who can come together and celebrate freedom, celebrate Bitcoin. And the energy was absolutely electric. Unfortunately, it was just oversubscribed. There's just people flowing out everywhere. And this year we are learning, we are making the conference bigger and better. We are moving over to the Miami Beach Convention Center, and we are going to be throwing a massive 4-day festival for Bitcoin, celebrating Bitcoin, bringing together the greatest minds in Bitcoin and the greatest businesses in Bitcoin. And lastly, the culture of Bitcoin all together. We have a 4-day extravaganza planned for you guys for Bitcoin 2022. Day one is going to be industry day. It is a day where you can buy a special ticket in order to just mingle and make business deals happen. Day two and three is going to be a full-blown Bitcoin conference. This is our main conference. This is going to be on April 7th and 8th. And then lastly, we have the Sound Music Festival day four. Imagine going to Coachella, but for Bitcoin. There's going to be very few talks. It's going to be all about the culture of Bitcoin. It's going to be all about hanging with your fellow plebs. It is going to be an absolutely amazing time. There's going to be Bitcoin musicians, Bitcoin artists, and all your favorite Bitcoiners, and just an amazing environment to party and just see it all, soak it all in, and to get people to realize that a Bitcoin world, a world filled with Bitcoin people doing Bitcoin things, is the world that they want to live in. That's what Bitcoin 2022 is all about. That is what the Bitcoin conference is all about. That's what Bitcoin Magazine is all about. So it is going to be a celebration of Bitcoin, the Bitcoiners, and this amazing movement that is going to make the world a better place. Go to b.tc/conference. Learn more about the Bitcoin conference. Learn more about all the amazing things that are happening in Miami around the Bitcoin conference and buy your tickets. And guess what? If you buy your tickets with Bitcoin, you save $100 on all the tickets and $1,000 on the whale pass. So if you want the VIP pass, the big kahuna, if you buy with Bitcoin, you save $1,000. That's a lot of sats. So go and do it right now today. Don't wait. Prices are only going up. This is going to be a can't miss event. Bitcoiners, let's take a break from the content. And I want to tell you about Coolbix. Coolbix is an awesome Bitcoin hardware wallet that's been around for a really long time. They are building an amazing Bitcoin wallet called the Cool Wallet Pro. The Cool Wallet Pro is state of the art Bitcoin hardware wallet technology. Its form factor is like a credit card. You can put it into your wallet and it is designed to go with you on the go. So that way, even when you're on the go, you can have the benefit of a two-factor hardware wallet design when you're trying to spend your Bitcoin. So you can have your Bitcoin wallet UX on your phone and make it really easy to scan, decide what you want to do, but then you sign with a Coolbit X, which is in your back pocket. It is tamper-proof. It is waterproof. It is flexible. It has an awesome secure element in it. And it is a really awesome way in order to have some more flexibility, yet security when you're taking your Bitcoin on the go. I personally am a fan of this idea of making Bitcoin into a medium of exchange and making it into something that people use. I know it's going to take time, but they are working on the UX for making that possible in as secure a way possible. So have some peace of mind. Check out the Cool Wallet Pro from Coolbix, and thank you to them for sponsoring this podcast.
Let's say, CK, last round of questions before we wrap this up.
Sure. Yeah, that sounds good to me. I'm no longer a co-host, so up to y'all to bring people up.
All right. I brought Oscar up, I think, if it worked.
Thank you for letting me speak. First of all, I want to tell you that I am Salvadoran. I am part of the diaspora that lives in the United States, in several states for the last 15 years, sending remittances to my family, to support my family. And I am also a Bitcoiner. I was one of the first guys that went to the first ATM in the financial district in New York City to use the Bitcoin ATM. And also I had the luck of going to one of the first coffee shops in Long Island, in the area of Brooklyn, where I was able to buy a coffee with Bitcoin. And, you know, I'm a coder, I'm a developer too. So I have the technical view of these kind of things. I came to El Salvador. I am actually in San Salvador. I came on the first, and I came to, you know, use the app and everything and spend money and try it out. I was here before, like some months ago, and I went to the Athena ATM in El Zonte, and I was able to use Moon to exchange a $20 bill in exchange for Bitcoin with my Moon wallet in El Zonte a few months ago. And this week, I was able to go to Starbucks and buy a 550 pumpkin spice latte using my Moon wallet. And I've been trying to use it in the country as much as I can. I went to a supermarket, but the Chivo app was down and they didn't accept my Bitcoin.
And I went to Pollo Campero and I tried to buy also a combo meal that was like $5 or something. And it was down. Unfortunately, I couldn't try it. But I have a question. After sharing my experience so far, I have a question about remittances, because eventually I'll go back to the States and I would like to know, with the remittances, let's say that I use the Chivo wallet, this money is being converted. My US dollars are going to be purchased probably in Coinbase, where I'm going to pay a fee, and then I'm going to transfer some of that money into the Chivo wallet, I guess. Or maybe I'm going to link my checking account with my routing number and my account number to the Chivo app to replenish the balance and send some money to my family. You guys have the certainty that this is going to work well, in the sense that the Bitcoin is converted into a stable coin and then it comes to El Salvador and then it goes to the Chivo wallet and gets converted into either US dollars or BTC. You have any words about this? You trust, you know, the stable coins? Because in New York, some months ago, there was like a scandal between Bitfinex and Tether Inc., where the New York AG fined them with $18 million because they were saying that only part of the $1 to $1 relationship between the stable coins and the dollar was true. You know, that they had like 3% in cash and 74% in some other economic documents.
Why are you talking about stable coins exactly?
Because you just get the cash
out of the ATM if you want.
Yeah, dollars, but because right? when I put my money from the States into the, let's say, Strike or the Chivo, and I'm going to send it to El Salvador, it doesn't go through Bitcoin. It goes through as a stable coin and then it gets converted. That's what I understand from the Strike application. I don't know how Chivo works because I haven't been able to use it yet in that scenario. But apparently what Strike does is that. So I just wanted to know your opinion, because I am a Bitcoiner. I do have an investment in Bitcoin, and I am a little bit worried that some of the value of Bitcoin may be inflated with stable coins that don't have any backing. And if that fails, we're going to lose a lot of money. You know, if Tether Inc., for example, goes down, we may lose some BTC value.
I think you might be conflating a couple of things now. So one of the theories is that stable coins are pumping the value of Bitcoin, which I think is, I don't subscribe to that theory. Let's just put it that way. But I would recommend against holding stable coins. And there's no reason to hold stable coins if you don't want to. You can just cash out whatever you have in your wallet in an ATM here. I've done it. And then you have the actual cash in your hand. So if you don't trust the USD balance in your Chivo wallet, then just cash it out and you're done, or keep it in Bitcoin and spend the Bitcoin, in which case you're obviously dealing with the volatility of Bitcoin. There's no real reason to keep the USD as digital USD in your Chivo wallet, I think. You can just go for one of the other options.
That, yeah, I understand that, and I will never keep it. I don't have any stable coin. I don't have the USD or the USD or whatever. But what happens in the way there, you know, like, because the government is going to have this in their custody, what happens if at some point they decide that they're going to use like an intermediary, like stable coin? Like, would you guys still trust that, you know, because that may be subject to inflation if the government comes up with like a stable coin and then it's not one-to-one with the dollar? I don't know. It's one of the worries that I have, basically.
I mean, I guess if you're using it to transmit funds, you're only trusting it, to call it that, for like 5 minutes or however long it takes you to get to an ATM over here. Or you can just send it in Bitcoin. That's definitely possible. I've done it. If you don't trust the digital dollar in the Chivo wallet, you don't have to use it at all.
Oscar, if I could just add some context, like, you know, I think that there are fears that this is going to be leveraged into some unbacked fiat coin, right, that is going to be imposed on the people. Who knows if that's going to be the case? We recommend just sticking with Bitcoin, and we're excited about Bitcoin in El Salvador, but we can't vouch for what governments are going to do with CBDCs and this technology into the future. Every central bank pretty much is stating that they're exploring this technology, and if you really go back to it, all fiat is pretty much air. So that's why we're trying to move to Bitcoin in the first place, because it's kind of a solution to this problem that every government can print some dollar thing in their bank ledger or on their app or whatever. Like, that's kind of the key problem. So
yeah, you know, and the final thoughts that I want to give my connationals, you know, my fellow Salvadorans here, is that they should learn how to use a self-custodial wallet, just like Mon or any other wallet that they trust. And they should keep their BTC on that self-custodial wallet, because we don't know what's going to happen, you know, with the government economy, and we don't have any transparency tools. For example, all of the transactions with the Shibo, they happen online, and we cannot go to a BTC Explorer and explore that, right? So I would say try to use a self-custodial wallet and get educated. And yeah, I hope everything works out. You know, like, no Salvadoran, even if it's a critic of the government, wants the El Salvador economy to crash, right? So we want it to go up. That'll be my two cents. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Let's go for the last question. We have Ms. Rodelman. Am I saying that right? Yes, Ms. Rodelman on stage.
Yes, hi guys. You can call me Maria. This is not a question. It is actually just something that I would like to say, what you have been talking about. One of the things why people here are not happy about this Chivo app is because if you see the numbers, only 23% of the population here in El Salvador have a bank account. Of all that people, some of them have access to the online banking of those banks, and some of them don't because they don't know how to use it. In El Salvador, we have a lot of trouble with internet connection because not all the population have internet. We even have trouble with education because there are kids that cannot go to classes right now because we have online classes and they don't have internet. So this is just something like the background of all this. I think that we have been very clear saying that we're not against Bitcoin, at least people that understand how it works. We are against how the government has been implementing this new Chivo wallet. So that was just something that I would like to tell you, just for you to have an idea why all this is a problem, besides that they're buying this with taxes money and everything, right? So this is just something that I just wanted to mention. Besides, Mario has been doing the work that the government had to do months ago when they decided to buy this, because they had to educate the people. They don't even know how to use an online banking app. So how are they going to know how Bitcoin works when they probably didn't even hear about Bitcoin before they actually talk about it? So there are a lot of things here that the government has been doing very wrong.
So let me zoom in on one of these points, because we've discussed a number of them on this stream already. But you mentioned that a lot of people don't have banking. Isn't Bitcoin a solution then?
It is not, because we do not solve all these problems that internet, that they don't have access to internet, they don't have access to a proper education. And that's something that Mario has been talking about too, that we
cannot... Right, but that's a different issue, right? So yes, that they don't have a bank account is not a problem. They don't have internet. That's the problem then.
Exactly. The internet, right. There are a lot of old people that don't even know how to use a cell phone, etc. So there are a lot of issues that will not be solved with Bitcoin.
It is true that the Chivo app, I think as long as there is an internet connection, then you can use the Chivo app, right? You don't actually need to have internet credit, as long as it's like it's getting free internet, basically, if you have that for the specific app.
Yeah, but what happened if you don't have money to pay for your internet? How do you think that they're going to have money to buy some Bitcoin through the app or something like that?
Sure, but it's an extra option that people can use if they want to, and not everyone will want to or be able to, I would say.
Exactly, but the problem is that they want to make it mandatory.
I think that I kind of understand the whole point is that using Bitcoin requires an integral education where you need to know about the technology, you need to know about how to prevent being a scam or tricked into using anything else. So I think that has been lacking from the government implementation. And I think it's a critical issue because many people doesn't have the access to the tools that will allow them to solve or to use any technology. Let's talk about any technology, not only Bitcoin, in an appropriate manner. So I think that, again, I kind of understand the reasons why you think that Bitcoin is going to help the people. There is a lot of things that needs to be solved before the implementation. And most of them are related to education, to make people understand how to use their own finances. Because, again, there is people that, let's say, they improve their economic situation. They have access to a banking account, but they never receive financial education. So they have a lot of debts and these kind of things. So I think that if we are thinking on banking the population that doesn't have access to it, we need to tackle this problem in a more integral way so people can have all the tools, not just the technology.
Yeah, I was going to say one of the arguments is that Bitcoin actually helps leapfrog these kinds of problems exactly because people can't get a digital bank account. Now, with Bitcoin, they sort of leapfrog that and there's still a lot of education to be done. And of course, not everyone has the tools or the skills for it yet, but you got to start somewhere, right?
Yeah, but at least in the case of El Salvador, we also have this law regarding simplified bank accounts that doesn't have all the requirements that traditional bank accounts have. And it's the technology, it's this law that allowed the use of this Tigo Money solution and also allowed the banks to provide these simplified bank accounts that are electronic accounts that work only within the application. So if we already have like these experiments using electronic money, electronic solutions that doesn't have these entry barriers, because I mean, it asks you for the same kind of information that the Chivo app asks you, just your identification number and nothing else. So the question is why these solutions, these technical solutions didn't work. And I think that the appropriate way to understand this is to explore this. And I mean, Tigo has like a million users. So if you want to compare the rollout of Chivo Wallet, I think that you need to compare with an existing solution. I know it's not the same, it's not the same technology, but it lacks the barriers that the traditional bank system has. So it could be a good start to understand the implications, the kind of problems that the people face, and obviously understanding all of this and learning from the previous experience will allow us to think what's the best way of implement Bitcoin or any other cryptocurrency or related technology.
Yeah, well, actually, so I think that a big reason to do this has a lot to do with the dollarization of the country. And I think the government recognizes that this is a problem. And I would agree that it is a problem. You're very dependent on another country. You're very dependent on the United States and their monetary policy. But I think this point has somehow not been brought up a lot, and that might have something to do with it being more controversial. It's very uncontroversial to say we're going to help people use mobile app and they'll get electronic payments for the first time, and it's cool. It's much more controversial to say we're going to move away from the dollar. It's my suspicion, but I'd be curious to hear your thoughts about it. It's my suspicion that they're sort of intentionally not mentioning that very much, even though that might be an underlying motivation to do this.
Well, what the problem that Mario was saying, and that's why you're totally right, is like the Fed is like they're saying they're going to move away from the US dollar. Because Mario talked about Tigo Money itself. Tigo Money has been around for what, like 5-7 years? What Tigo Money does is you can utilize your actual cash money, go to a Tigo agent, put money into your electronic wallet, and you can pay whoever who accepts Tigo Money. I mean, here, for example, if you go to Facebook Marketplace and you try to order something, either you go ahead and pay in person or you can go ahead and do a Tigo Money transfer. But nobody says anything about it. I mean, a lot of people, what it does from Cantones, that's what we call them here, I personally have a Tigo Money post in my house, and there is people that they're saying, all people don't know how to use it. They're very smart. They learn how to use it. Why? Because Tigo Money lets you download remittances from Western Union and MoneyGram, and they come to the house and says, I got a remesa, and you download it to your phone, and if you want it, you can cash it out, or you can use it as electronic money to pay your water bill, like Kais, like a lot of retailers like Avon, Belcorp, but they're not saying anything. As you mentioned, Aaron, they're kind of afraid that they want to move away from the dollar because people are used to use electronic money, I mean, since the last five, six years, since Tigo Money was implemented. So I don't know why is that Maria is saying, oh, there is a lot of old people that don't know how to use it. When, believe me, 70% of the customers that I got on my house that come and get remesas are people that are like 65 years and older. And we teach them how to do it. And they don't have the remesa, and we give them the cash money there. So it's not like about, oh, the old people don't know how to use it. They have learned how to use it. We teach them how to use it. So, I mean, it is the same thing with Bitcoin. I mean, nobody knows about it. I mean, but if they take the time to teach you how to use the Bitcoin, everybody will learn. And why is everybody afraid of? Because what El Presidente said was, you can download the Chivo app on the States. You can send money with no fees. What was the headline of the newspaper? Western Union would lose $400 million of remesas this year if they use a Chivo app. That's what everybody's afraid of. The big guys, the big sharks, that, I mean, with the Chivo app, we know that it's not working totally 100% right now. They said it is between the 40 and 50%. But, I mean, I talked to a lot of people that are in Texas, Los Angeles. They're saying once the Chivo app gets all set up, what they're going to do is they're going to load the money to the Chivo app. They're going to recargar, what they call it here. They're going to send remesas. There is one problem here, that the limit that you can withdraw here right now is $1,000. But, I mean, when you go to Western Union or MoneyGram, how much do they charge you to send $1,000? They charge you around like $10 to $12 per each transaction. And with the Chivo app, it supposedly is going to be free. So, I mean, if you send it to me, for example, that you're in the States, and I decided that I don't want to receive it on BTC because the Chivo app has the option where it says if you want to receive the transaction, they send it to you, you have the option either to receive it via BTC or via USD. I mean, if they send it, whatever way they send over there, my Chivo app is set up to receive remesas, in other words, on USD, so I just can go ahead and cash it out. So when they're saying all people don't know how to use it, that's such a lie, though, because 60% of the customers that I have with Tigo Money, that they go ahead and download remesas from Western Money at my house, they're older people that comes and requests they don't allow to be made. So it's not an excuse. And what they're saying, oh, they need an internet paquete. No, because what we're saying is if whatever area you have that is an actual internet signal, even though you don't have a paquete, you can go ahead and use the Chivo app. So there is not a thing of you have to buy a paquete of internet, or you don't have to buy it. They're saying you don't need to buy a paquete of internet so you can use the Chivo app. So I mean, at the end, once the application it is all set up, basically, we'll see exactly how it's going to work. But, I mean, there is a lot of back and forward, and I think what they're afraid of is that, I mean, the El Salvador is trying to move away from the dollar. Remember what the speech of the president said is, yes, we want us for you to help us out, but we don't want to depend from you guys. I don't know if you remember that speech that he did, and that's why everybody's worried about. So it is a lot of political back and forward thing. So, I mean, hoping the Bitcoin, once the Chivo app is all set up, I mean, everything runs in mode for the Bitcoin community. That's what all I have to say about it. Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to add a couple of things. First, I think that, well, nothing is free. And yeah, maybe Chivo is offering users no charges to whatever they send, independently of the amount they send. But we are actually paying all these commissions with taxpayer money. And one user is telling me that people sending remittances can use in bank-to-bank transfers, and they only pay $8 up to quantities from 1K. So people, it's leaving Western Union and MoneyGram to other cheaper options that doesn't necessarily use Bitcoin or other technologies. So again, I think that the problem here is that if you look at, if the government is paying for all these small transactions, because at the end of the day, the guy that buys the Bitcoin at the US and pays for it, they are going to be charged by the operator of the credit card operator. And there is a lot of small costs that the government is paying. That means that every citizen in El Salvador is paying for this. And what this means is that this affects the adoption or alternative options because people think that it's free, even if not true. So this difficults the adoption of other solutions that may be working with Bitcoin or not, that ideally they must compete in an open market. So people decide what kind of application they want to use, if they want to use another different type of application that charges less or more. So this is not happening. So I cannot be against a technology by itself, but I can oppose the way that it's implemented because I think it affects the market, it affects the way that other participants can really offer the solutions. And I mean, you say that there is a lot of investors that might want to participate on El Salvador economy, offering their solutions, but if they are going to compete with a government wallet that offers zero fee, you will not have any opportunities to participate on this market. And I think that's harmful to the whole ecosystem, and it's against what you are trying to do, guys, with Bitcoin.
Thank you very much, Mario. I think it's getting close to time to wrap this one up. I appreciate everyone joining, and you know, I thought that this was a really helpful conversation. This conversation was recorded and will be available on Bitcoin Spaces in your podcast player or on the Bitcoin Magazine YouTube page in about 2 days. So check in on Thursday. We'll be tweeting about it as well. But again, a lot of good takes here. There's a lot of issues with this implementation. It's not perfect. I think all the El Salvadorians have made it clear. Obviously, Bitcoiners think that Bitcoin is a Trojan horse for freedom and financial literacy. So this is going to be the test. Does Bitcoin have the financial robustness and purity as an asset to do what we think it will do for El Salvador, despite pretty much every mistake, potentially from the government, according to many of the people here? And hopefully the values of open source continue to perpetuate. I guess just one last word is check out Bitcoin 2022. Would love to continue to host these conversations and see what happens to Bitcoin across the globe, and have that be the pinnacle again, like with El Salvador, for, you know, announcements and big moments in Bitcoin history to happen. So I think that's going to be an incredible event, April 6th through the 9th in Miami, Florida. So b.tc/conference, check it out. A lot of great, amazing things will be happening there. But thank you to everyone who joined. Thank you to Aaron for hosting. Thank you to Bitcoin Beach. And yeah, thank you again for just Bitcoin in the world and just seeing how all of this kind of shakes out. I do think that we're living through history.